him. They stood still. And he said, this is what Jesus said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. See, if you want to know how to raise the dead, listen at what Jesus did. See, these are the skills that we have. But saints of God, you're going to have to know how to do this. And when you get in the word, it's going to tell you how to do this. You know, God healed this dead boy. And he that was dead, this is what he did. He sat up and began to speak. And Jesus delivered him unto his mother. And fear came upon those people. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up amongst you, and that God has visited his people. This is what happened when miracles happen, and when we lay hands on the sick and they recover, when we raise the dead, when we cast demons and devils out of people, God has visited his people. So saints of God, if you want a visitation from the Lord, then you're going to have to start doing the works of God. And verse 17 says, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all the regions around about. So saints of God, if you want notoriety by doing the works of God, you're going to have to do the works of God that Jesus did. And those same works is here for us to do today. So we'll pick back up next week on this. We're talking about learning. We're talking about doing the works of God. And we're talking about how we're to do those works of God. So we'll pick back up next week and we'll continue with this series. And we thank God. Amen. And amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. First of all, my brothers and sisters, it's important to understand that this is a command. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. It is instructive, it is exclusive, and it is all inclusive. Let me help you understand. He instructs us by saying, make a joyful noise, make a joyful noise. It's important to understand that two things must happen here. That there must be noise and it must be joyful. You can't make a joyful noise with your mouth closed. He said, make a joyful noise. That means that it has to be elevated in the hear, the hearing or the hearing of God. When we say, sing, praise, it is to God. No, God is not deaf, but he wants the world and all that live herein to know that our praise, our rejoicing is unto him and not to them. That it is focused. And he instructs us to be able to open up our mouths and make a joyful noise. Now listen, it's amazing how nobody has to tell us be loud when we're making an angry noise or a mad noise or a sad noise. But when it comes to making a joyful noise, it's important that we say to folk, open up your mouth, lift up your voices, give God the glory he's deserving of, because we somehow miss that this is a command, but a command that should be understood not just because he tells us to do it, but because he's filled us with so many reasons to do it. You see, one of the things that's important, you know, when I was growing up and somebody, you know, gave me something or whatever, and I didn't say thank you quick enough, my mother said, now what will you say? Some more? No, thank you. Some of us don't know how to tell God thank you until we get some more. But I've got news for you. If you're not thankful for a little, it's going to be hard for him to give you much. Because the Bible says he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. When you learn how to be grateful and thankful to God over a little, God will make you ruler over many. So again, it's instructive, but it's also exclusive because it's unto the Lord. Not to everybody, not to anybody, but to the Lord. God himself. But then it's all inclusive because he says, all ye lands. He's not leaving out any peoples of this earth. Why? Because he's been good to all of us. Doesn't matter what your language is, doesn't matter what your creed is, doesn't matter what your color is, doesn't matter what your concerns are. If you have breath in your body, then you owe it to God to give him praise. Now, you know what's amazing? Because, you know, I still get a chance every now and then to go to smaller churches, to older churches, and you don't have to beg them to praise the Lord. I mean, when you say to the Lord, hey, whoo, glory, they're ready to shout all over the place because they know the Lord. They know him, and they know what he's done for them. But you know what I've also experienced in my 45 years of preaching to us? The more God blesses us, the more we act like we don't have to praise him. The more intelligent, the more articulate, the more educated we become, many times we act like that's not necessary. But God did not exclude any people. He said, all ye, as a matter of fact, it ought to be the better God is to you, the louder and better your praise ought to be. See, you've got to know him for yourself, and you've got to know what he's done for you. And that's why it's difficult in this shifting millennials worship to really get a feel and a hold on God. And their praise many times is not like those who have come through and who know God and thank God for where God's brought them from and know through the hard times it was nobody but the Lord who blessed them and kept them and brought them to this place where we are. And so because many times our struggles aren't as those who came before us, we many times wondering, what is all that about? So I want to help you. I'm going to be long today. I'm just going to walk through the text and tell you. Let me, you know, when I used to be impatient in reading books, etc., I would always go to the last chapter and see how the book was going to end. And if the book didn't end well, I usually put the book down. I ain't waste my time reading all the rest of those chapters that makes no sense or that does not edify me in the end. But let me take this Psalm 100 and tell you that it says to us to rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's everybody. Because what it says to me is everybody has a reason to rejoice. You might not feel like it. It might not be what you want it to be. But I've got news for you. When you really give thought to what God has done and is doing, and more especially shall do, you've got a reason to make a joyful noise. But let me tell you what the scripture says. Drop down to verse 5 for you. And look at what verse 5 says. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. I'm making a joyful noise because the Lord is good. And if I've got any experience with God being good, and not only good, but good to me, that's enough to shout on right there. Listen now, listen. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So you know what that says? He ain't just been good to those who were in and he brought out. He's been to good to those of us who didn't have to go in. Lord, y'all gonna catch it sooner or later. In other words, yes, those whom the Lord has delivered out of troubles and struggles and problems and pains have a right to praise him. But look at it from the other perspective. I am grateful and praise him and giving glory that I didn't have to go through what they went through. That's a reason to make a joyful noise. I was over at my aunt's house one day, and her children were a little rough. And we were over there, and the daddy came home, and the mama ain't told the daddy how rough the children had been. And the daddy had a piece of wood with a leather strap about maybe a quarter of an inch thick. And it was screwed on to the wood. And he beat them with that leather strap, and they hollered bloody murder. I cried because I felt their pain. And then my mother looked at me and said, maybe I ought to let him whip you too. And I hollered, Mama, no, please, no, Mama, no. It's like, you know, do what you want, but don't let that crazy man whip me. And I'm making a point because I was grateful for what I didn't get. And I can tell you, sometimes being grateful for what you don't have to go through is more than enough for you to give God praise. Listen, so if you look at verse 5 gives us a reason to make a joyful noise. But if you back up to verse 4 gives us a right to make a joyful noise. Because he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto him. And then do what? Bless his name. I have a right to enter in with thanksgiving. And I know this, brothers and sisters, you know, some of us, we don't know what each other goes through in the course of a week. We don't know what God has brought us through. You don't know what God delivered us from. And when folk come in with thanksgiving and when they give God the praise and the glory, and we look at them like they've gone crazy, lost their minds, because we don't know that their praise didn't just start here at the church. They've been talking with him and walking with him, and they just happen to walk on in still fellowshipping with him. Listen, and because they are thankful, it's easy for them to bless his name. You got some of us with more than we've ever had, more than our parents have ever had, and we cannot be thankful, we cannot be grateful, and we sure don't open up our mouths to bless his name. Something is wrong with that. You've got a reason to make a joyful noise. You've got a right to make a joyful noise. But let me give you a revelation why you ought to make a joyful noise. It's in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now look at this, because I want you to see this revelation for some of us who don't give God the praise and the glory without priming and prompting them to do so. If you get a revelation that the Lord, number one, he is God, the same Lord that you say is my shepherd, I shall not want. Listen, if you're saying he is God, you're talking about the shepherd, the Lord, and you're talking about God, Jehovah, because those two are get together, are tag teaming. They are one together. And listen at this, because they are one together, it is he, the word says, that hath made us, not we ourselves. So that means God knows us. He knows all about us. He knows us through and through. He knows what makes us tick. He knows our hurts. He knows our fears. He knows our tears. He knows everything about us. And because he has made us, who knows us better, and who better should we give praise to? We are his people. We belong to him. We need to do what he tells us to do, because it is he who have made us. We didn't make ourselves. No matter what you think you are, no matter what you think you've accomplished, no matter what you think you can do on your own, it is all because of the making of God. And when you start getting a little too high-headed, when you start getting too lifted up in pride, remember the next portion of that verse says, we are his people. Did somebody miss that? You aren't your own. We are His people. And then when we talk about He's our Lord, our shepherd, the sheep of His pasture. That same pasture He maketh us to lie down in. The same one that leadeth us beside the still waters. The same one that restores us. The same one that leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Why? Because we are His sheep. We are His sheep. And so He gives us, listen, a real solid reason, right, and revelation for our praise, for our rejoicing, for our glory. Listen, I'm almost through. Back on up to verse 2. And we have a responsibility. For the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. There is nothing that's more of a turnoff than when you encounter people with sour, sad, negative, frowned up, twisted up, nasty dispositions in the house of the Lord. And talking about they're serving the Lord. My question becomes, what Lord are you serving? The Lord of the stink? The way you're twisted all up and like you. What Lord are you serving? It can't be the one that woke you up this morning and started you on your way, gave you a reasonable portion of health and strength, blessed you, gave you what you never deserved. And I could go on and on and on, but it can't be that Lord, because that certainly says you are being ungrateful. Serve the Lord with gladness. Man, if I weren't sure that I serve the Lord, looking at some folk on Sunday mornings would steal every bit of joy I got. I mean, have you ever been, yeah, praise the Lord, and look at some man. I never shall forget Dr. C.B. Jackson and I were at a church service, and he said, man, he said, oh, I mean, the music was high, the praise was high. We were standing up and giving glory to God. And all of a sudden, he just stopped praising the Lord and sat down. So when I sat down, I said, Doc, what's the problem? He said, John, he said, it's hard for me to believe that everybody in here gonna make it to heaven. He said, I thought I was in heaven for a while till I opened my eyes and saw some folk who looked like they were in the wrong place. I mean, they poured water on the Spirit of God for me, because I know that person should have been shouting all over the church for what God has done for them and where He's brought them from and all of the help and the aid that we've given to that person to help them understand God's goodness to them and to show them His love. And they sitting there like, what is all of this about? He said, it's like pouring cold water on my spirit. And I've had that experience. Church is high praise, and they act like they're in the wrong place, like they're not in the church of God praising God. I don't have to know what He's done for you, but you know. You ain't got to tell me what He's done, what He's doing, how He's blessed you and kept you, but you do have to praise Him. give him glory. Another thing, I think we don't realize the impression we make on people when our faith and our face don't line up. How can you say he saved me? He delivered me. He turned me around, placed my feet on higher ground, and you sit there looking like a sourpuss, like you've been sucking on sour lemons for the last half hour. A bitterness in your mouth, in your expression. And you're supposed to be one of the people lifting God up in his sanctuary. Nothing turns off a visitor more than a rude and ugly usher. Because our ushers in any church are the first contact that most people encounter about the church. If they make it past that kind of usher and then sit next to a member who can't say good morning, good to see you, glad to have you, is this your first time visiting with us? You know, who said like that, don't come too close to me. I ain't got nothing to say to you this morning, and I want you to say nothing to me. Matter of fact, let me tell you what, I'm going to put my purse in the seat so you don't get too close to me. And then they encounter the choir singing to the glory of God. And the choir, some of the members singing are chewing gum. Some of them are talking more to each other than singing the song. I don't know, maybe they're trying to figure out what's the next word to the song, because they miss rehearsal. I don't know, but it doesn't look good to visitors to watch the choir members not sing with the joy and the glory of God that the song represents. And you want them to stand up on their feet and get into it when they look at you and you're not into it. They look at our deacons, many of them without the joy of the Lord on their face, many of them not worshiping or witnessing, many of them who look like in the next minute they're going to fall over. And then we look at our deaconesses. And they're supposed to be the mothers of the church. They're supposed to be the one who instructs and tell the young women how to treat their families and their husbands and their children. Tell them how to handle things. Well, no, you know, these young people now, they'll cuss you out. Well, you listen, you know what? You are here for a reason. And maybe the reason why some of them act like that is because they see the way you act. And you get to the pulpit. And the preachers in the pulpit are acting like they don't even know the word when they hear the word. They're not rejoicing or supporting the word. They're there like they are there to be seen rather to be a part of the scene in glorifying God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info